I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday, October the 14th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. What does that mean, Open Mic Friday? It means you can take over the microphone asking a question or making a comment on anything we've said during the week. Our numbers here are in St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. And we're only too happy to go to our phone lines right now. And we're going to speak with Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question concerning Acts chapter 3, verse 15. And this is after the lame beggar has been healed, and Peter and John are there, and everybody's amazed because the man is leaping up and walking and leaping and praising God. And so Peter speaks to them, and he says in verse 15, he says, "And you killed the author of life," referring to Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. And I'm wondering, and referring to Jesus as the author of life, does this have a dual meaning? Is he referring to Jesus as the creator of life and the creator of new life?
A very good question. There's another time that we talk about Jesus as the author. It's in Hebrews that he is both the author and finisher of what?
Our faith.
Our faith, yes. Therefore, what does faith bring? It brings true life. He even refers to living people who are unbelievers as the walking dead. So, when this particular Peter is talking about life, I believe that he is definitely talking about the second part of life that you mentioned, namely the one that saves us. We are all born dead in sin, but the author of life is none other than Jesus Christ. And he not only gives us life, but when Jesus does healings, he's giving us a kind of foretaste of the heaven we will be going to. And that's what verse 16 says. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And that this faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So I would say that the life that's being spoken of here is definitely that new life in Christ Jesus. As he himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And obviously he's talking about salvation.
Could it also indicate that Jesus is God?
Well, at the cross, remember the centurion said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And he used a title that was supposed to be reserved for Caesar. Why did he think that Jesus was the Son of God? Because Jesus did something at the cross that no other crucified person had ever been able to do. Every crucified person wished that they could be killed, that they would die because the pain was so excruciating. And what did Jesus say? "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He says, "It is finished," and he died. Who alone has power over life and death? None other than God himself. And the centurion recognized that anyone who could call death upon himself had to be divine, and that's why he referred to him as the Son of God. So, that Jesus is the author of life, no one would say that about a created being, such as an angel. Only God is the true author of life. So I think you make a very good point that this Jesus is also God.
Okay. Thank you very much, Pastor Baker.
And thank you so much for calling. Yeah. And anybody else can call us. Our numbers here right now are in St. Louis, 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Before I go on with calls, I do want to bring you up to date on Zachary Broker. I visited him just recently, and he's the nine-month-old who had a new heart placed in his body. And for the first time, his mother was holding him. This is since the surgery. And I had been there just before that, and she was unable to take him out of bed because he had so many things attached to him. But right now, hardly anything is attached. The machines are gone. The oxygen isn't necessary. And he had a big smile. In fact, at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm, after I was finished teaching the youth confirmation for grades 6, 7, and 8, they had a camera with Zachary on it live. And all the kids were smiling and laughing at him and speaking to him. So Zachary is doing very well, and we thank the Lord for that. By the way, we're going to be having a volleyball game next Wednesday at 4:30, and the girls who are playing the volleyball game have dedicated the game and also any funds raised to the Zachary family. That's at Trinity Lutheran Church Orchard Farm. And it's at next week, beginning at 4:30 Wednesday. Also, they gave me a shirt with Zachary's name on it, and those will be available also to be purchased. So that's really something that I'm looking forward to. Next Wednesday, as I said, Trinity and Orchard Farm. Now, how do you get to that? Well, you cross 370 over the Missouri River and immediately take the first exit. That's 94. And when you get to the bottom of the street on 94, you turn left and you go 5 miles, and there's the school, and just a little bit past the school is the church. So you can also support Zachary, and we'll be talking about that beginning next week, too, where if you would like to send a donation for the family. We certainly realize that St. Louis is a giving city. Yesterday, I left to go to Trinity Orchard Farm, and I go along Highway 270 from 44. And on every overpass, there were fire engines. And on the top of the fire engines were police and firemen standing. And I was wondering, what is this all about? Well, it was due to the policeman who was shot and killed and his funeral. And what an honor they gave to him during that time. So this is a city that is willing to stand behind those who are in need. And I know there is contributions for the policeman's family, and we're also looking for contributions for the Zachary Broker family. This surgery, I was told, because they had to use plane, helicopter to bring the heart in, send the doctor out there, it was over $1 million. That's what I was told anyway. And so we thank the Lord that funds are coming in to take care of the additional costs over and above the insurance, because they do have insurance. So anybody else, if you have something on your mind of a theological nature, don't hesitate to call me. And call me early, because we tend to get calls stacked up when we don't have any time left. The number, St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. 720-2727. That St. Louis number, 821-0850. You know what the 850 stands for, of course. That's where you turn on the AM dial to hear KFUO in the St. Louis area. It can go, 100 miles, sometimes even more than that. I once was in Cape Girardeau, and I could hear it pretty easily, but it all depends on the weather patterns once you get that far away. But you can listen to it as clear as glass by going to the computer, kfuo.org. And on that, you will find there's a place where you can look up archives, and my long gospel programs are on there. So if you've missed any, you'll be able to go and hear what Mark Smith and I said on Tuesday, and Wes Reimnitz on Thursday, and our insight Wednesday. So I'm only too happy to have you take a look at that. While we're waiting for your a call, I found an interesting Bible passage I was kind of going through, and that's in Isaiah. What is there about Isaiah? God is kind of angry at his people. And why is he angry at his people? Because they have left him. They are no longer following him. They have lost their faith. So what's God going to be doing about that? What's he going to be doing? He is going to take them into exile. Why is he doing that? Well, it's kind of like what happened in the book of Judges, if you're listening to the Issues, Etc. Sunday School program, that in Judges, God has seen a cycle where people, first of all, disobey God, then God sends them punishment, then they repent, then he sends them a hero who is kind of a savior for them. And then finally, guess what happens? They have a time of peace. But it doesn't last very long. And the reason it doesn't last very long is because they fall again into unbelief. And they do that various ways. One of the ways they do it is simply by intermarriage and following the gods of their new spouses, which, of course, is a horrible thing to do. But that's what happens. Well, God has sent us a Savior to find a way out of our destiny to eternal hell. And that Savior is none other than Jesus our Lord. But in the meantime, getting back to Israel, it's very interesting to realize that God uses a man named Cyrus. He refers to as his servant. Now, why is that odd? Well, because Cyrus is not an Israelite. He is head of Babylon, and God is going to use Cyrus to come and put the people into exile. He makes it very clear, and by the way, this is chapter 44, where Cyrus is even said to be God's anointed. And in that anointing, God is bringing to Cyrus, the anointed one, that's 45 verse 1, to subdue nations before him, and it says to loose the belts of kings. Now, what that means is, guess what? Their weaponry are going to be loosed from them, and they're not going to be able to defend themselves properly. Now, this is kind of important to understand, that at times God uses unbelievers to accomplish his task in bringing the remnant, the true believers, to an understanding of repentance. And that repentance is therefore an acknowledgement we have sinned against the Lord, and the Lord therefore is going to save us. Now, when the Lord does save, he saves in such a way that those he uses are called his anointed. But finally, it is only God who should be considered the Savior. For example, in chapter 45, verse 14, it says, "Surely God is in you, and there is no other, no God besides him. Truly you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, the Savior." That's a really important point that was brought out at the time of the Reformation. We refer to it as the hidden God. God is hidden from us many a time, and we don't realize what he's doing for us until he himself reveals it. And he reveals it through what? Well, the prophet Isaiah and others. And of course, a lot of people don't listen. I mean, who would listen to Jesus when he says he's the Messiah of the world, that he is God? Remember, he was born out of wedlock, at least from the people's point of view. He was an individual who did not obey the laws of Judaism in working on the Sabbath in ways that they said should not be done. He spoke against the religious leaders of the time. He was a carpenter from Nazareth, not a well-known city. So one can only imagine that believing in Jesus took the Holy Spirit to do that. All right, if you'd like to call me, numbers are 821-0850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. I want to mention that I'm teaching youth confirmation in a way that I think makes it very interesting for the kids. And here's one of the things we're going to be doing, which we're going to be offering for sale to other churches. There is a game that is kind of popular where a question is asked and then five answers are given. And the confirmand has to put down the right answer. And then during this video, the wrong answers begin to disappear until finally the right answer is there. Now, we've decided that we're going to be doing that for the entire catechism. And we worked on a couple of commandments. I'm going to put it together this weekend and bring it to the kids, and we'll see how things look. And we'll let you know more about this in the future. Let's go to the phone lines and talk with Mike. Mike, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Pretty good.
Hey, listen, I think you were right when you interpreted that word as prevail. I think it was in Romans where I'm strengthening all Christ to do all things, or however it goes. I'm not saying it right, but you used the word prevail, and I thought that was a better interpretation.
Yes, the text is, I can do all things, and a lot of people misunderstand that, thinking that Paul is talking about he can do anything he wants with the help of God. But then the context shows, he says, I can do all things. In other words, I can prevail whether I have what I want or whether I am in need, whether I am free or whether I am in prison. And so I appreciate that, Mike. That's a good insight, and I appreciate your backing me up there, that the proper translation there is, we can't do anything we want, but we can prevail against whatever comes against us.
Good.
Thank you so much for calling. Anybody else can call. Numbers are 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. That passage is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. and was actually the confirmation verse of an individual that we laid to rest, Jerry Meyer, who passed from this veil of tears to heaven itself. And so we always like looking up, okay, what's the confirmation verse? You should have on a on your wall hanging not only your baptismal certificate, but also your certificate from confirmation. And his was Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You know, that almost sounds, and I said this in the sermon, like Joel Osteen, who says if you have enough faith, you can do anything you want. And people stay in this church for 4 or 5 years until they figure out this isn't true. And I even said in the sermon, Joel Osteen brags about never going to the seminary, and then every time he preaches, he proves it. Because his theology, I'm not saying he's not a Christian, but he certainly doesn't understand how he became a Christian and what a verse like this means, that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And what Paul says just a couple of verses before, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. So, the proper translation there is, I can prevail against all things through him who strengthens me. Verse 12, he says, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. So there's no promise in the Bible that says you're going to be totally successful if you simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be able to do anything that you want. And some preachers will give the impression when you attempt to do anything you want, even the impossible, and it doesn't occur, then you are the problem. You don't have enough faith. Well, that's ridiculous. God will always permit you to have whatever you need. That's one of his promises. And so it doesn't matter what occurs in your life, whether plenty or need, God is still there. He's taking care of you, and that's a promise he makes. I mean, how many times as a child did I not think that my parents were treating me properly? I mean, I can get up and go to school without falling asleep, but no, I had to go to bed at a time in the middle of maybe a monster movie from China with a dragon coming out of the water. And no, I wasn't allowed to see that because it was time to go to bed. Well, I didn't think that was fair at all, but I still obeyed and probably stayed a week more in school than I might have had I stayed up till 1 or 2 in the morning watching or listening on the radio to various stories. So we're often toward God like we were toward our parents. And we would say, boy, when I get kids, I'm not going to treat them like that. And guess what happened? When we got kids, we treated them like that. That's for sure. On Monday's Long Gospel, a lot of us have heard about Cain and Abel, but it says in Genesis 4 that for Abel's concern, God had regard, but for Cain's sacrifice, God had no regard. Why? You need to understand this, because how do you know God has regard for your sacrifices? Are they like Abel's or are they like Cain's? And we'll talk about that on Monday on the next Law and Gospel. You can listen to me on Sunday by coming to Trinity Orchard Farm. We have 2 services, 1 at 8, 1 at 10:30. With a Bible study at 9:15, And remember the girls' volleyball game the following Wednesday in support of Zachary Broeker. We're just so happy that the heart is doing well in his body. And we're looking forward to his going home and also to soon coming to church. I'm Tom Baker. You want to get a hold of me with any comment or question? It's lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. That's the email address, and we'll certainly reply to you. Till Monday, then, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.